All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're in the midst of a series that we're doing called Experiencing the Relationship, the Lord and You. And as with all relationships, communication is a key factor. If you're going to have a relationship with anyone, there has to be communication. When there is a breakdown in communication, there are problems. And that's true in the relationship with the Lord. And so we've talked about that God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have it so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross, so that the problem that existed between humanity and him would be taken care of. So that the issue that is the elephant in the room, whenever it's you and God, the issue of sin would be dealt with. That you would have forgiveness. That you would have the opportunity to have a relationship with him. So he's done everything to want to have a relationship with you. Now here is the question. The question you have to ask yourself is, do you want that relationship? Do you want to get to know him? Because the problem is that sometimes we have things enter into our mind that the very simplistic things of the relationship become meaningless, like prayer. You say, what do you mean, George? Can I tell you, we call it prayer because that's the religious term for it. That's what the scripture calls it, prayer. But prayer is nothing more than talking with God. Don't make it anything more than that. It is you talking with God. The problem, though, is that we don't know how to pray. There is a lack of knowledge on our part. You say, oh, I know how to pray. My mother taught me how to pray. My grandma taught me how to pray. I saw others. I listen to people in church. I hear how they pray. And yeah, you're right. We do influence each other in how to pray. But to be honest with you, when you talk about it in terms of a relationship, we don't really know how to pray. In fact, I'm going to make 2 points here. Here it is. When it comes to talking with God, the simple fact is we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray, period. Can you say that, George? Yeah, I can say that because in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Here, Paul is saying, we are struggling so much that we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray for. So guess what? The Spirit prays for us. We say, I don't hear him. Well, it's too deep for us to even hear words. He's praying for us. Why? Because the Spirit lives within us. The fact is, you've got the greatest relationship in the world. The relationship with God, it's right there. And the simple fact is we don't know how to even talk to him. It's a lack of knowledge. Here's the second thing I want you to see there. Like the disciples, we need Jesus to teach us how to pray. So I want you to notice with me, chapter 11, we're going to focus on verses 1 to 2. Now chapter 11, in the first part of chapter 11, he gives us the Lord's Prayer. You guys familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Some folks will repeat the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer is recorded in chapter 11 of Luke. It's also recorded in chapter 6 of Matthew. Now, the interesting thing is when you compare the two, they are very similar, but they're also different. Very similar, but also different. Why is that? Well, because in both instances, Jesus is teaching us how to pray, not giving us a formula that we simply need to repeat mindlessly. He's trying to show you different things about prayer. In fact, let's look at it together, okay? Here's what I want you to see. Verse 1, here's what he says. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So the fact is, like the disciples, we need him to teach us how to pray. We need to focus in on what he's saying. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're actually going to do it today and for the next few weeks. We're going to take the parts of the Lord's Prayer and give you something to think about. Give you something to examine the relationship. The relationship that you have with the Lord, but you might not be accessing that relationship. You might not be learning how to communicate with each other. And so he's going to tell you how to approach him. So I want you to notice with me, here's what he says in verse 2. Verse 1, he says, when we pray, verse 1, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now we're going to focus on two phrases there. Father, hallowed be your name. That's what we're going to focus on today, because the first thing we've got to do, if we're going to understand how to pray, you need to understand who you're talking to. Well, I know who we're talking to, George. We're talking to God. What do you mean I need to understand? No. You can get messed up in your thinking and it affects your prayer life. You can have preconceived notions in your mind and it affects the way that you approach him and the way that you talk to him and what you think about him. So we're going to take these two phrases, Father, Matthew says, our Father. Both say, hallowed be your name. And we're going to look at several things here that are going to help us out. So let's take a look at, first of all, the whole issue of Father. Look with me. Prayer begins with an understanding of who you're talking with. You got to understand who you're talking with when you pray. And the very first thing he says to you is you approach him and you say, Father. Now, what's significant about that? When you talk about God, we understand he's the creator of the universe, right? We understand that he created everything. We understand that in the end, he is the ultimate judge. He is the one who sends people to hell. He is the one who gives eternal life to those who are saved. We understand all of that. God spoke everything into existence. There is no one like him. He is called the Ancient of Days, the beginning and the end. He has always existed. He is eternal. But he's telling you that when you approach him, the first thing that needs to be in your mind is an understanding of who you're talking with, who it is that you're speaking to. So why is that important? Well, here's my second point. What you believe about God affects the nature of your prayer life. What you believe about him affects how you pray. Now, what do you mean, George? I believe that he exists. I believe that he saved me. What more is there? No, listen to me. He starts off with an intimate term, Father. Now, what you believe about him should affect what you pray. How do you mean? Well, for some of us, let's just be honest. I've been there, so I can talk about myself. For some of us, God is the one we go to when we need something. God is the one that we go to when he's the one who is able to do everything. So, God, I need you. The only time I go to him is when I need you to do this and I need you to do that. God, you know, it's really crowded at Walmart today. Can you give me a parking place closer? I don't really want to walk. It's raining outside. Can you give me a closer space? Or if you're in a government office and you're waiting in line, Lord, somehow can you get me through this line quickly? We look to God as the one who answers our problems only. We make that assumption that God is the one who is the Heavenly Father who gives me whatever I want. And when he doesn't, guess what? We quit praying. We think he doesn't love us. We think there's a problem with him. The problem isn't with him. The problem is what I believe about him. The problem is that somehow I think that God's whole purpose is just to make me happy. But that's nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that God's purpose is to make you happy. Nowhere in Scripture is it to say that God gives you everything you want. Do you understand? So what you believe about him affects the type of prayers you have. It affects your prayer life. And when you see people who don't pray anymore, you can almost guarantee you can trace it back to what they believe about their God. What do you mean, George? Listen to me. Think about it for a moment. If you have a human relationship between two people, where does that human relationship go if one person is always the demanding one, expecting the other to always provide, never interacting just to get to know the other person? I can almost guarantee you that relationship's going nowhere. Nowhere at all. Relationships are a two-way interaction. It's not one party giving the other party everything they want. You know that. Why do we expect the one with God to be different? But we do. So what you believe about God affects the nature of your prayer. Test yourself. What is it that you pray about? What is it that you believe about him when you pray? That'll show something about yourself. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Well, let me get back. I don't want to skip over this. There was a guy in the Bible who's mentioned in Matthew. Chapter 25, it's from the parable of the talents. Here's a guy who had a wrong view of God. Listen to what 24 and 25 say. He also, who had received one talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man." Interesting, he calls God a hard man, the master. "Reaping where you do not sow, gathering where you do not scatter seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." Here's a guy who had a wrong view of God, and it affected everything else. I'm telling you, if you've got a wrong view of God, it's going to affect how you pray. So let's get back to that term, Father. First thing Jesus tells us, in Luke, you say Father. Matthew, our Father. That's defining the nature of your relationship with him. So here's the third thing, okay? You start with an understanding of the relationship you have with God. That's where you start. When you talk about prayer, you talk about starting with where your relationship is. Do you understand? You start with where the relationship is. And where that relationship is he is your heavenly Father. You are his child. That's where you start. I'll give you an example, okay? Just right here, right now, okay? So, when we're done with this service, I'm going to have interaction with people here in this group that we have here. So let's say I'm interacting with Brad over here after the service, and we're just talking. Brad and I are good friends, so there is a level of intimacy there with us. But also, there is differences between us. We may be intimate and knowing each other for years, but there's a difference. And that difference will come out in what we can or cannot ask of each other. Everybody understand that? Yeah, we all understand that. But in this room is my daughter, Madison. I'm her dad. Now, when Madison and I interact, would you say that my interaction with her is different than my interaction with Brad? Yes. Why? Because there is a deeper relationship there. and we know each other. And she knows what she can say to me, and I know what I can say to her. Do you understand? And as we grow, we understand each other more. And so therefore, she can come talk to me about things that I would never go talk to Brad about. Do you understand? Simply because of the nature of the relationship. Jesus starts out this prayer with the concept that you go and talk to God, and the first thing out of your mouth is what you believe about him. And what you believe about him is, Father. Father. Do you understand? It's talking about a depth of a relationship, an intimacy with each other. Do you understand? That's pretty powerful when you think of it. So here's the next thing I want you to see. Seeing God as your Father should set the tone of your conversation with God. Seeing God as your Father will set the tone of your conversation with him. Do you understand? When you understand who he is and the level of intimacy that there is with you and him, that's going to set the tone of how you can talk to him. What do you mean, George? What are you saying? Well, listen to what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said this very same chapter, in chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 of Luke. He again is talking about prayer, and here's what he says. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he's saying, again, two illustrations, human fathers and the Heavenly Father. He's saying, with a human father, if my kids came up to me and said, Dad, I need you to do this, chances are I'm going to do it. But how much more would God do that? You know what I'm saying? If one of my sons came to me and said, Dad, I'm hungry. Can we get some fish? I'm going to say, no, let's go buy a snake. Let's have a snake. That sounds good. Nobody would do that. It's weird. But how much more will God, who loves you, who wants the relationship with you, give you something even far greater? The Spirit of God within you. See, what you believe about him sets the tone. Who it is, if you see him as your father, that's going to set the tone. So let me just say this. I was with some relatives of mine. You know, my mom's still alive. I still talk with her. But there was a sense in which, like, if I went to my parents, there is a sense in which I know what I can ask and what I can't ask. There's a sense in which I know the boundaries. Some of us need to learn there's boundaries. Well, that's why he comes up with the next phrase. Look at verse 2 of chapter 11. Look at what he says. Father, here it is, hallowed be your name. Now, I'm using the English Standard Version, which is a newer version, and it's interesting to me that they still have that word hallowed all the way back from the original King James. Okay? Hallowed. What is hallowed? Well, it means to be hallowed or to be seen as holy, to give reverence. So there's two things I want you to see here. As we see him as our Father, but there also is a balance to that. Jesus gives us a balance, and we need to recognize this. Okay, here it is. First thing I want you to see. At the same time, you must always remember who you're talking with. He's your Father. He's your Heavenly Father. But Jesus, by saying that simple statement, hallowed be your name, holy is your name, we need to remember who we're talking to. Do you know what I'm saying? We live in a society today where that's almost contrary. It's like we couldn't care less who's in charge anymore. We badmouth everybody who's in charge, period. We have no respect for anyone. We see that in our society. It's even in our lives. And I hate to say it, sometimes it carries over into our human relationships, but then also carries over into our relationship with God. Yeah, so we're ready to grasp him as the Father who loves children, loves us as his children, is willing to do anything for us. But we forget that there's a boundary there that needs to be always in the forefront of our mind, and that is, it's God, the great judge. Hallowed be your name. You know, it's interesting to me. Think about this, okay? When you see recorded in the scripture the people who come in contact with God, it is amazing to watch how they react. I'll take John, for instance. You guys remember the Apostle John? The Apostle John was so overwhelmed by his relationship with Jesus, when you go to his gospel, he doesn't even mention his name. He refers to himself in the third person, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But everybody knows it's John. John, in the Last Supper, is there leaning on Jesus' breast. He is so overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus loves him, cares for him. He's just overwhelmed by that. This is one of the few inner circle of Jesus. He's got such a wonderful relationship with Jesus, okay? So let's fast forward. That happens in AD 30 when Jesus leaves. Come to AD 90, 60 years later. Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. The Apostle John sees a vision of the risen Christ there talking with him. The Jesus who he loved so dearly 60 years before, who he was so overwhelmed by that, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Here's the reaction. When you look at chapter 1, it records that he fell down on his face as dead. The very Jesus, who he knows loves him, when he sees him, he's so overwhelmed with who Jesus is because he's the Son of God, he drops to his feet as dead until he's told, it's okay, you can get up. It's not the only one who does that. Isaiah chapter 6, woe is me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. I'm a sinner before a holy God. See, we got to have a balance. And Jesus is communicating about it. You go to him and you recognize that relationship that you have with him, and you say to him, Father. And you understand the intimacy of that, but you also have in your mind a balance. You're holy. You're God. And sometimes we need to remember who we're talking to. Do you understand? Sometimes, in fact, here's the second thing I want you to see. You must give God the reverence and the respect he deserves. You know, I said this, I've said this many times. Can I tell you, he's not your Bubba. What do you mean by that, George? You know, a Bubba is somebody you go fishing with. A Bubba is somebody you go to lunch with and you just have a carry-on, a great time, and have a wonderful time. God isn't your Bubba. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is God. Yes, he wants this is what's so amazing. He wants to have a relationship with you and is a father to you, but you still remember who he is. And so because of that, you give him respect. You know, there are folks in this church that I enjoy having lunch with or breakfast with, and we'll bust each other's chops, so to speak. That's the term we use. You know, we hassle each other. I'm going to be honest with you. You don't get with God and bust his chops. Right? Why? Because you know who he is. He's not your Bubba. And you give him what? The respect and the reverence. Now, I think we all understand that, right? Because here's the thing. Did you notice Jesus didn't start up this prayer with friend? Did you notice that? He didn't start it out with my friend. He started it out with a term that we understand, Father. And with that, there's an intimacy there, but there's also what? A level of respect there, right? And when you understand with a friend, you have expectations. That, okay, I need you to do this. Your friend will do that for you. With a father, though, does he give you everything you ask for? Should he give you everything you ask for? No. No, not at all. Why? Because the Father has the greater good of you in mind, right? And when you think about it with the Heavenly Father who knows everything about us, past, present, and future, when he says no to something, you should be what? Thankful. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I was reflecting on this. I do this every once in a while. I was sitting in my office. I was reflecting on all the stupid prayers I've prayed through the years. You should do this sometime. Think through some of the stupidest prayers you've ever prayed. And then thank God that he didn't answer them. Because you realize, God, if you had given me what I asked for then, it would be terrible. That would have been a mess. I'm glad you didn't hear me. Well, he heard you. He just simply said what? No. All right, so say, okay, George, what do we do with this? Where are we going with this? Well, here's what I want you to do, okay? Let's go back to the first question I asked you. Do you want a relationship with him? Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about a relationship where he gives you everything you want. Because that reveals more about yourself than it does about him. But if you're wanting to have a relationship that will satisfy the inner emptiness in your soul that you are trying to fulfill with everything else, then it's right there before you. You just need to take it. He wants to have that relationship with you. Do you? So where do we start then, George? Well, here's where we start. We start with the very basic thing of understanding who he is. The number one, he's my Father. My Heavenly Father. But the wonderful thing about him is he ain't just your normal Father. He's holy. He's God. And I'm mindful of that. And that's okay, isn't it? In fact, we're called to what in Scripture? Fear the Lord. You know, I can I be honest with you? There was one man that as a teenager I was terrified of. His name was George Ray Cannon Sr. My daddy. And that terror kept me from a lot of stupidity. Do you understand? And that was okay. Now, did I love him? Oh yeah, I loved him. Still to this day, he's been dead since, how old am I, 58? Since 1986 is when he left. Still to this day, I still have dreams where I interact with my dad. Why? Because I loved him. But I was fearful of him in a right way. See, this is what he's saying. You start with those basics. Understanding who he is and the intimacy. He's your Father. But you also understand who he is. He's your God. and you let that guide you. Next week, we'll start getting into what do we talk to him about. That's what we'll start seeing next week. Let me pray for you.